On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Joined by Bernie Miklas. Bernie going through this college football playoff shuffle and trying to figure it all out. All I know is my team is still in it. They were in it even if they lost the game. But wow, that was now the dream season is alive for Indiana.
Ending, best ending of the year, at least involving major teams, and certainly the play of the year, the catch of the year at the end to pull it out. And I think that I'm a Heisman Trophy voter, have been since the late 80s, but I don't have a say about like who I think everyone else is going to vote for. But I think what Mendoza did yesterday on that final drive, which was incredible, I think that vaulted him into the lead. Although Ohio State's Julian Sain, who's been fantastic, I think he's right there too. So it's going to be a great Heisman race down the stretch.
Yes, it is. And, you know, great teams find ways to win when they're not playing at their best. Indiana banged up. They go into Penn State, clearly an inspired team, and they pull that thing out. And I do, of course, as a fan of Indiana, appreciate that. But I do look at that. I look at teams that just figure it out when things are not going their way. And Indiana, I thought, got a lot of recognition for that very thing.
No, I totally. Listen, yeah, I understand the dominant teams are supposed to, you know, win games, if not easily, win them decisively. I get all that. But I don't care how great you are. There is going to be a time during the course of the season, especially in a conference that's as good as the Big Ten, where it's not just your day. You're swimming against the tide. Things are going against you. You could drown. There's no one to pull you out. You have to pull yourself out of it. And to me, that reaffirms how great a team is when they can survive and prevail in games like that, where they're basically about to drown and go down, but they find a way to win. That reaffirms their greatness. I don't understand the people that would have us believe that because you win a squeaker on the road against a Penn State team that's been, you had lost five in a row, that somehow that should be held against you. That's absolute nonsense.
Yeah, I think typically it's because there's so many games, not everybody gets to watch them through. You know, they see right. The scores, they're like, ooh, barely beat them. Well, you know, if you watch the game, you knew the situation and all that stuff. Now, on the flip side of things, Ohio State, we just talked about them. They're really, really good. Indiana's very good. I think you can make the case that Texas A&M is the best team in the country. They looked awesome yesterday in Columbia. They beat up Missouri, didn't they?
Well, they did. And listen, I picked Texas A&M to win, but I thought Mizzou would make it a really close game. Like my thing I said on the video Friday and also in a column I wrote at STL Sports Central, that I thought it'd be a close game. And I really did thought that the true freshman quarterback, Matt Zollers, would play well. Well, I was probably a little naive, and I never hesitate to admit when I'm wrong about something. I still believe in him. I still absolutely believe in him that he is going to be a really, really outstanding quarterback. But that assignment, I'm going to say he wasn't quite ready for that assignment. But I will also say this. I'm not sure that the coaching staff got him ready for the assignment. And here's what I mean. Let me ask you if you watched the game, and I'm sure you did. I'm sorry, brother. Did you see any kind of throws that were called that would have got him into a rhythm, got him some confidence?
No. No.
Why was everything like down the sideline, you know, 25, 30, 40 yards, throwing to receivers who frankly really didn't get open? I mean, they did a little bit. Like, how is that good for a young man's confidence? Yeah, you're asking him to just throw these lightning bolts instead of giving him some stuff, some short stuff to get him going.
I know, it's like they put Dan Marino in the game or something. I mean, it's like you gotta manage the game and run the football. Clearly, your offensive line is terrible protecting against the pass rush in this game. So they like to run block. I mean, the team averaged about a little under 10 yards a carry. I mean, run the football.
Right.
And they run the clock. Yeah, they did.
And they ran it well, but they did nothing in the passing game that to take advantage of the fact that they really ran it with a lot of muscle yesterday. Did they ever really use the middle of the field? Now, no. People will say, well, they didn't have Norfleet. Okay. I do believe other teams suffer injuries. You lose your tight end. It doesn't mean you get to completely fall apart in the passing game. And by the way, when the kid was at Vanderbilt, he threw a touchdown pass, the only touchdown they had in that loss to Vandy, and he threw it to the backup tight end. So they have other tight ends who can catch the football.
They do.
Where was the middle of the field?
I don't know. And, you know, their defense looks SEC top shelf. I mean, I really do think so, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, the last two seasons against ranked teams in the SEC, Missouri's 0-6. They just are what they are. I like Eli Drinkwitz a lot. I like this football program and the momentum that they have, but you got to be able to do it on the field.
You know, the last 3 years have been good for Mizzou football, obviously. I mean, they're 27-8. That's a 7-7-1 overall win percentage, which is in the top 10 of the Power Four plus Notre Dame. But I'm going to stretch it out. I'm going to go the last three seasons. They're 5-8 against teams, but they've lost six in a row at a time where they should be getting better. They've lost six in a row against ranked teams. See, I give them some leeway. I realize that they don't have the talent of an Alabama or Ohio State or Texas or Georgia. Okay. I give them a little wiggle room there. But at some point, you have to do better against those teams. And if we look at their record in the SEC over the last 3 years, it's 13-8, which is okay. But against SEC-ranked teams over the last 3 years, 2-8, including 0-6, as you mentioned, the last two seasons. So when they SEC teams that aren't ranked, they're 11-0. So there is a huge gap still between Mizzou and the elite programs. And, you know, in a related thought, and I'm not telling people what they, including you, which they already don't know. You know, Mizzou's sitting here 6-3. They have three games left. I don't think they're going to win at Oklahoma. I think they're going to be on upset alert because after just sort of getting bounced from any playoff consideration, are they going to come out flat next week? What about the final game at Arkansas? My point being, if Drinkwitz, you know, finishes like 8-4, is he still going to be appealing to some of these programs that are looking for coaches? What about if it's 7-5? What about, gosh forbid, it's 6-6? Like, in other words, if they go belly up late in the season, why would a Florida or an LSU or a Penn State, how would they sell that to the fans? Well, wait a minute. They can't beat ranked teams. They're getting worse instead of better. And, you know, the quarterback excuse only goes so far, you know, so they didn't get the kid ready to play in a way that he could have had more of a chance of a success. To me, that goes against them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, those three elite programs that have been, you know, among, let's say, the Blue Bloods, but then you got Arkansas where he's from and Auburn where he's coached that also have vacancies, maybe that next tier. So maybe they would be willing to take the 7-5 Eli Drinkwitz. I don't know. As long as this thing lingers, I'm very curious to see what happens with all of that. I, again, I am a fan of him. I think he's terrific for what's happened in Columbia. I think the resurgence of Mizzou football has been on his watch and a lot of his doing.
I'm a fan too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I'm just saying there comes a point in time when you're building a successful program. Mm-hmm. And I give them a lot of slack. And I also, Dan Devine, the patron saint of Mizzou football, who I love and was a friend of mine, God rest his soul, you know, he was 3-7 against top 10 teams as coaches the Mizzou Tigers. It ain't easy to vault to that next level where you can beat the very best teams on a consistent basis. That's all I'm trying to say. But I think the problem with Drink is that record against the really, really good teams, instead of getting better, it's getting worse. And I don't think that's justifiable.
A couple minutes left. Our last question here is just the Cardinals. From what you have sort of gathered over the last week, as Chaim Bloom steps into the GM meetings, we're going to talk to him here in about an hour, but as he steps into the GM meetings, what do you expect him to start to do here? Go after some starters?
Yeah, there'll be a lot. Listen, man, a lot of meetings, a lot of groundwork. You know him pretty well by now. I think I do too. The guy never stops talking to people. I love his energy. I love his enthusiasm. He's always texting. He's always on Zoom. He's always having calls. I mean, he just never stops. I love that. That energy is something that's going to be really great for the Cardinals. Well, he's going to lay the groundwork because he said it last Sunday to you on Sports on Sunday morning. Pitching, pitching, pitching. Not only starters, but bullpen. And I think they need to get two starters. The question is now, fans ought to realize, and they do, we're not talking about them being in play for Dylan Cease or one of those guys. But there are going to be a lot of starters available that you can sign to a one-year contract. And there's going to be starters available that, because of Chaim Bloom's analytics department and the way that they scout potential turnaround candidates, they're going to look at guys like that they think they can fix. With Matt Pierpont, who's brilliant, their pitching director. And I also think one thing real quick is that, you know, I hear in the wind, you know, I have some sources around the country that, you know, they think the Cardinals would really love to trade for a really, really good young starting pitcher. They know they'd have to give up a lot, but a guy like Edward Cabrera of Miami, who's got 3 years left. So I think they're going to try to explore that type of thing. I'm not saying it's going to be him exactly, but hypothetically, you know, sort of a pitcher like him that's got 2-3 years left who can really upgrade their rotation at the top.
I could see that. That would be phenomenal if they could pull that off. Bernie, we appreciate you very much. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Thanks for being with us.
As always, love you. Take care.
Love you, man. Bernie Miklas with us, Sports on a Sunday Morning. Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens, next.
On 104.1 KMOX.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Still on the dribble. Can't get around the Look bigger thing. Stolen away by Kellen.
Protect yourself.
Length to the floor, to the hole. Layup good because Bush was all over him, yes. Or he would have dunked it.
Yes. Look at that. He stole it from a 5'9 point guard.
And stolen away by Quentin Jones. Wants to weave and drive. Reverse layup. Yes. Oh, take him to Q school.
Yes. Look at the
dogs. Stolen away by Thames for Sharma. Step back three. Bang. Instant Sharma. Oh, the defense.
Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. were going crazy on KMOX with that great moment for the Billikens as they exploded and ended up winning that game against Chicago State 108-86. Joining us is Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens. Good morning, coach.
Morning, Tom. Good to hear from you. And everything always sounds better when Rammer and Earl, I need them in my day-to-day life, just calling like me grocery shopping or driving to work. You know, whatever we're doing, it'd be great to have those guys narrating it for you.
He's loading up on more sparkling water. There he goes.
Instant Sharma and the slope show, but Rammers, you know, those guys are too much.
That was a wild moment in the game, a game that I know frustrated you a little bit defensively, but let me first just compliment 108 and the fact that that smaller lineup kind of did the trick, didn't it? Just to pick up the pace of that basketball game.
Yeah, it did. You know, that's part of, you know, we have a deep, versatile team in a lot of ways we can play. And certainly going with the five guard look, you know, with size, because I think we had, Deion's out there some, and he's the smallest guy, whatever, 6'3", 6'4", but everybody else, 6'6" and above, and a lot of versatility there, a lot of pace. And that's what that group, you know, their strength is, you know, was being able to really pressure and force turnovers and switch everything and really play with great pace and skill. And I thought, you know, our defensive pressure, allowed us to really hit the gas offensively and had a big run there to kind of take a game that was, you know, pretty close early in the second half. I think it was an 8-point game when the run started, and we went on a 29-1 run, and then, you know, we were up 36. So, and it happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, when you started that lineup of Avila and Otieno together with Dunlap, who can rebound, and Thames, who can rebound, and Deion, who can rebound, I turned to Troy. Actually, I said it on the telecast. I'm like, that's a rebounding lineup right there. That was what you were trying to do. It just didn't seem to work out. The physicality that you wanted was not there.
Yeah, no question. I think, we thought that would be a lineup that, against Chicago State, would give us a chance to really – hit the glass. They're a smaller team. They also, you know, kind of play a, you know, chaotic, frenetic style that gets them in a lot of rotations and scrambling. So we thought we'd have an advantage on the glass. Credit, you know, Chicago State. I thought, their shot making, but their effort level, you know, how physical they played, how hard they played. They have good players and they really competed. And so I thought, we didn't have an advantage there. But that's the way, you know, things work inside of a game. You know, you go into a game, you have an idea or thoughts of what you think will be successful. And sometimes those ideas are spot on. And then other times, you know, it's not at all what you thought, you know, and it could happen in a variety of areas. Maybe a guy's a terrible shooter coming to a game. You're going to play off. Next thing you know, he makes four threes and you got to adjust. And so, you know, there's all kinds of things inside of a game that, you know, you walk into a game and feel like this is what's, you know, could happen or should happen. And then it doesn't. And, you know, so you just adjust with it. But I do think that lineup, you know, the two bigs together particularly, is something we're going to continue to, you know, obviously develop and work with. And they've had their moments where it's been really good, but certainly we need to be better than we were with that group Thursday night.
How was practice yesterday? Was it up to your standards?
Yeah, I think we didn't go super long. It was more of the film, you know. And I think, you know, my frustration – you know, if you look at, I know people get caught up, you know, and I understand why. It's just the way people's mind works, you know, like 86 points. And, you know, I will say this, like I only worry about, like, points only matter in terms of possessions played, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you play a game and you give up 65 points, but you played the game, you only run defense 60 possessions, to me, that's a much worse defensive effort than if you gave up 75 points in a game where there was 85 possessions, right? It's only points per possession that matter. So the more possessions, you're looking at points per possession. And so, you know, the first 32 and a half minutes, we were well below 1 point of possession, which if you're about 0.9 points of possession, you're going to win about 95% of the time in college basketball. We were below that, even though they made, I thought, Chicago. We weren't great defensively, and Chicago State did make some really hard mid-range jumpers. The last 7.5 minutes was really where I, you know, felt like, we got away from who we are, on both ends. I thought we were, and that's human nature, to play the scoreboard, to allow the circumstances to dictate your energy and your focus. You're up 36 points, and so what does a basket matter? You're up 36 points. Why not, why hunt great when I can just take some shots and try to see if I can, increase my scoring average. So, those things are just not going to fly. And we talked a lot about it, and certainly, human nature, is an opponent we're going to have to fight all year long. And certainly that's my job to make sure that we play the right way, regardless of the scoreboard.
There are only a handful of D1 teams in the state of Missouri: SLU, Mizzou, Missouri State, SEMO, Kansas City, and Lindenwood University. And here they come for a game tomorrow night to preview the Lions, if you would.
Yeah, I think it's a good team. They went out and they played two obviously extreme spectrum games. They went out to Texas Tech and Lubbock against a top 10 team, and then came home and played health sciences, pharmacy, the school across the street. So obviously two complete ends of the spectrum, no disrespect to UHSP. When they went out to Texas Tech, their two leading scorers didn't play. Those guys are both back. I think it's a good team. I think it's very much like SEMO, watching those guys, watching them out at Tech. They gave Tech a game for, 12 minutes or so of the first half, 15 minutes of the first, in that range. And like I said, Jones coming back and number 8 for them, their two leading scorers from last year. Those guys returning will make them a much better team. I think they're well coached. They're very similar, like I said, to SEMO, where I think they're going to be an upper tier OVC team. Good size, well coached, a lot of St. Louis kids that are back. So the game will have a lot of meaning to them. Kyle does a good job with them. And it's something we want to do for the area. I think, like I told that to Brad, SEMO, not every year, but certainly on a regular basis, we want to play these teams in the local proximity and get as many games with the Missouri teams or like SIUE teams like that are right here that we can get into. And hopefully, fans appreciate that.
I love that. Call that the, show me showcase, or, well, if it's SIUE, you got to have an Illinois flavor to it. But Brad's a good coach, isn't he? I think that SEMO team is pretty good.
They are. People were texting me about the, they went in and had Missouri on the ropes, and they led in the final 2.5 minutes, and, they wound up losing the game in the final 30 seconds. But very well-coached team, very sound. It's normal, for fans kind of to look at it and say, this team stinks or that team stinks. That's awesome part of being a fan. Mm-hmm. Is you can kind of just look, disrespect the other teams. But, we knew SEMO's a good team. We feel the same way about Lindenwood. These are teams that, if you don't have, part of being a great competitor to me is having really high levels of competitive humility, which is, respect for your opponent, just respect for competition in general, and that anything can happen. That's what makes sports, the best entertainment to me in the world is, nothing's done on paper. There's no guarantees. Games aren't won on paper. They're won on the court or the field or whatever. So Brad's done a really good job. I thought they're going to have a great year. I think they'll be very competitive for the OVC crown. And I really feel the same way about Lindenwood. I think both those guys do really good jobs. They got good programs. Lindenwood's dramatically better than last year. I think when they won 16, 17 games, I think SEMO has a chance to be better than they were last year. So quality games for us early, good tests, and we'll have to be ready to go tomorrow night.
When you get to Chaffetz Arena, get your popcorn. This is a highly entertaining basketball team, the Billikens team. Get a hot dog, too. They're pretty good, actually. I had one between games on Thursday. Coach, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Have a great game tomorrow.
Appreciate it, Tom. See you tomorrow. Thanks. See you next week as well.
Absolutely. Josh Schertz with us. His visits are sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll talk some Blues hockey with Dan O'Neill next. Well, we had a lot of stuff going on yesterday. College football at its best. Just some crazy games yesterday. We've gone through a lot of that. College basketball continues today with Mizzou taking on VMI. They will tip off. Let's see. What time does that one tip? Missouri doesn't look great to me yet. I know they're 2-0. 3:30 tip off for them against VMI. They need to tighten it up. Tighten it up defensively for sure. SEMO made it a very close game, that second game. Well, we also have hockey to be concerned about. The Blues lost another game 4-3 to the Seattle Kraken in overtime. Joining us to talk about that and more is Dan O'Neill, longtime writer, covered the Blues for many years with the Post-Dispatch. How are you, Dan?
Good, Tom. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Good to talk to you. Before we talk some hockey, what's this new book you have going out? I see all kinds of celebrities holding it in all these photos. Those are real and authentic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course they are. it's a children's book that I just published, and it's kind of a change of pace for me, although I would suggest that I've always written about children. It's just they used to make millions of dollars. But in this edition, anyway, this issue, I wrote a children's book. It's called The Day Avery Rose Lost Her Nose. My first grandchild is a little girl named Avery Rose, and she's Dan's daughter. You know my son, Dan. And, she came around and I was just smitten with her, and I sort of played around with this book for a while, just kind of didn't really have a book in mind, really. I was just, during times when I wasn't doing a whole lot, I'd sit down and write a few lines. And it's all rhyming and all in rhythm, and it just took me a while to do it, and I finally finished it, and I put it out this fall.
Dano, it looks great. I just held up for our viewers on YouTube, X, and Facebook the cover and the fact that the Beatles were holding it. So I thought that was kind of cool.
It was great of the
Fab
Four to give me that promo.
Yeah. Really, really nice of them. And Tom Brady. And who else did I see? Nancy Pelosi.
I think I had Brett Hull. Brett Hull took a picture with it for me. And a few people.
That's awesome. You have covered some big celebrities in your day. As you look at this Blues team, they have a tremendous player in Jordan Binnington. The rest of the cast, I'm not so sure of right now. And if Binnington is not at his top game, I think they can be exposed a little bit. And I do believe that's what's happened here again, actually. The Blues are off to a slow start, Dan.
Yeah, it's really surprising, Tom, especially with Jim Montgomery as their coach. You know, he hasn't even been their coach for a full year or full season. And I really thought they'd get off to a great start this year, given how they finished when they made that change and brought in Jim Montgomery. They played great for him down the stretch last winter. And we're one of the best, if not the best, teams in the league. I thought they'd, with the training camp and everything under this new coach they had, I thought they'd get off to a great start. But I really don't know what's going on with them. There's something, I think you touched on it a little bit. It's really hard to judge any of their players, I think, right now, because in the context of the way they're playing as a team, I don't think anyone looks particularly good, including Jordan Binnington. There's just something they're not in sync. There's something culturally not happening for them. They just haven't gotten it together. And like I said, the fact that Jim Montgomery's their coach, and in a lot of situations like this, as has happened with the Blues a couple of times in recent years. When teams get off to a slow start, sometimes they change the coach. Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, Montgomery just got here, and he's got a long-term contract, so he's not going anywhere. So I just think they haven't quite found their identity, so to speak, thus far this season. But I still think they will. I really think their team's better than the one that finished the season last year. So I'm really kind of expecting them to find their way.
Blues made a move today. They assigned defenseman Logan Mayhew. He has looked overwhelmed at times to AHL, and they've recalled their defenseman Hunter Skinner. So Mayhew heads to the Thunderbirds. Dan, before we go, I saw that you had a signing recently in Afton. Where are you headed now as we get closer to the holidays? Will you do some more signings with the day Avery yeah. Rose lost her nose?
Yeah, I will be doing some, Tom. Thanks. I'll be doing a book signing at Christopher's in Kirkwood. That's right there on Argonne Road. This Saturday is coming Saturday from 1 to 3. And then the Saturday, Sunday after that, which is the 22nd, 23rd, I'll be at Lindbergh High. They have a big craft fair. I'll be there with all my books, including the new one. And the week after that, I am at Oakville High School. The weekend after that, I think it's December 3rd, December 4th. Same thing, have all my books, and I'll be there signing and kissing babies and shaking hands and all that sort of stuff.
And talking sports, because as you know, when you're out in public, people want to know your thoughts on Cardinals, Mizzou, SLU, Blues, all that stuff. And Dan is the man to answer those questions. We've had some great conversations through the years. The book is The Day Avery Rose Lost Her Nose. It is a children's book that Dan has written, and he is so kind to join us today. We're happy to return the favor and send people out to buy the book. It's great for the holidays, and we wish you all the best with it, Dan.
Thanks so much, Tom. It's great to talk to you, man.
Great to talk to Dan O'Neill, longtime writer, columnist, formerly at the Post-Dispatch, and he is very, very good at what he does. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back after the news with NFL picks. Chaim Bloom, Cardinals president of baseball operations, will be with us to talk baseball at 11:15. We're going to leave a little early at 11:30 for NFL action as the Patriots visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's going to be a good game.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's my pick on that? I'll tell you next. 10 minutes, I'd say last week's NFL picks, I had some good ones and I had a lock of the week that did not go very well. I told you Buffalo was going to be Kansas City. I told Scott Jagow, don't worry about it. And not today, were my exact words. Kansas City is not going to be the best team in the NFL. They were not going to beat the Bills, and they did lose 28-21, so the Bills covered there. But I thought that the Patriots would wax Atlanta. I really was not big on what the Falcons were doing, and I missed on that one. Patriots won the game, but they did not cover the spread. They only won by a point, and here they go again. The Falcons are up right now against the Colts. That missed extra point is looming large with 7:02 to go. Falcons have the ball and they lead by a point, 17-16, that game in Berlin. So if you're just tuning in, I hope you had your fantasy lineup set, because that game, the Falcons and the Colts, is well underway with 6:55 to go. Colts have the ball now as they just received the punt and no return. So the Colts with a chance to win this ball game down by a point. Let's get to our NFL picks for Week 10. Let's start with the Giants and the Bears. Drew, your Giants just are not very good, I'm sorry to say. And they're only a four-point dog at Chicago today. The Bears, I'm going to take them all day long, a four-point favorite in that first game of the day at noon. There are, let's see, seven noon games today. Buffalo at Miami, 9-point spread there. I'm going to go Buffalo again, -9 at Miami. I don't think the Dolphins can handle this train right now. Baltimore at Minnesota. The Ravens are a 4-point favorite at the Vikings, who stunned the Lions last week, 27-24 in Detroit. The Ravens with, yeah, right now Lamar Jackson is back. People are feeling a lot better about what they can do. I'm going to take the Vikings +4. Give me Vikings +4 in that one at home. Cleveland at the Jets. The Browns are a 2-point favorite against the Jets, who might end up picking my man Fernando Mendoza first overall. We'll see in the NFL draft. I'll go Browns -2 at the Jets today. I know the Jets had the miraculous victory at Cincinnati when they had a bye to get healthy, but I think that was a bad bye for them in terms of momentum. I think they'll go right back to where they were, and the Browns will sneak one out today. New England at Tampa Bay, the marquee game on KMOX today. The Buccaneers, a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Patriots. I'll take that. I'll give the Patriots 2.5 and the Buccaneers -2.5 at home. I'm going to go Bucs there. The other noon games, New Orleans at Carolina. Watch out now. Panthers are better than people thought. They're 8-4. New Orleans is terrible. Panthers -5. I will do that at home. Carolina -5 at home. Jacksonville at Houston. The Jaguars are a 1-point favorite in Houston. No way. Give me Texans +1 at home against the Jags. Here are the afternoon games. There are only three. Arizona at Seattle. Seattle's the team nobody is talking about. They were one of the best teams in the NFL, in my opinion. I heard just a week or two ago, people questioned the validity of Seattle as a playoff team. This was on national TV. You can forget about that. They're the real deal, folks. They have won 3 in a row and 6 of 7. And they are 6-2 on the year, and they're going to handle business today at home against Arizona. They're a 6.5-point favorite. Give me the Seahawks -6.5. Rams at San Francisco. Bernie Miklas passed along a very nice note to me before I did this. He said that the last 18 times these teams have faced each other with these coaches, McVay and Shanahan, the underdog 14-4 against the spread. Isn't that something? The underdog is 14-4 against the spread in this rivalry. Therefore, you know what I'm going to do, right? I got to take the underdog in this one. And that is going to be the 49ers. They are +5.5 at home against the Rams. 49ers find ways to win, and I got them today +5.5. I love that. Detroit at Washington. The Lions, a whopping 8-point favorite at Washington, trying to bounce back from their loss to the Vikings. I'll take that, too. Lions -8 at Washington. Pittsburgh at the Chargers is the Sunday night game. Not a great game necessarily, in my opinion. The Chargers only a 2.5-point favorite at home against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Lots of Steelers fans are going to show up to that one. I'm going to go the other way here. I'm going to go Pittsburgh +2.5. I think they may sneak one out over there. And then what a great Monday night game for Joe Buck to call. Philadelphia at Green Bay, Lambeau Field, Eagles, Packers. The Packers a 1-point favorite at home against the Eagles. I got the Eagles +1. I think they're going to reestablish themselves as the team to beat in the NFC. That's our NFL picks. Heim Bloom is next on KMOX. Welcome back to the show. We are the home of the Cardinals, and on Sunday mornings, we visit with the president of baseball operations, Heim Bloom. We always appreciate him. He is wrapping up the show today before we take you to the NFL. Heim, thank you so much for being with us.
You bet. It's good to be with you, as always.
Always good to be with you. We already have a question. Somebody wanted me to ask you if you can share details regarding winter warm-up and who's going to show up. Well, you'd have to know who's going to be on the roster at that point. There's a ways to go. We got a couple of months here before the winter warm-up. I would anticipate some roster turnover between now and then, Heim.
Yeah, well, I hope we're able to do some things that we think are going to be helpful to us by then. I'm looking forward to it, though. You know, we haven't gotten into the planning phases of that. At least I haven't. I know a bunch of our people are hard at work putting the event together, and it's a tremendous event. Really excited to experience it for the first time. But, you know, from my standpoint, obviously, there's a bunch of things I got to tackle first and have been focused on those.
Absolutely. Before we get into that, let's tip of the cap to a couple of winners. Some hardware handed out. Mason Wynn wins the Gold Glove. And Alec Burleson, a silver slugger. A couple of Cardinals walking away with some honor time.
Yeah, pretty cool. Really happy for both of them. It was fun to be able to congratulate them on those awards. Just taking them in the order you mentioned them. I mean, Mason, anybody who watches the Cardinals for any length of time, that was not a shock. It's a pleasure to watch him play shortstop every day. Just simply is. He's incredibly talented, does things on the field that really leave you just surprised in a sense that anybody can do some of the things he's able to do. But, you know, we get to see it on a daily basis, and it's really cool. There's obviously such a great tradition of wonderful defensive players, including probably the best defensive shortstop ever to play in our uniform. So it's awesome to have Mason following in that legacy. I believe that was the 100th Gold Glove for the franchise, if I read that correctly.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? More than anybody else.
Really cool, and it just goes to show you a big part of what this organization has stood for, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to stand for a long time. And then Burley, you know, one of the cool things, obviously everybody got to see him hit, knows what he can do at the plate. I think the two things I would highlight here, one, he made some adjustments this year. He put in work to try to improve his approach at the plate, worked hard on it, and it paid off on the field. And then also to see him recognized at the utility position, where obviously we had two finalists there, just goes to show you it does – bring some value there to be able to play different spots on the field and just gives you different ways to get in the lineup. And he was able to do that and got an opportunity, you know, got off to a little bit of a slow start. And then once he heated up, he just ran with it and never looked back.
Mason told us that his knee was feeling good. In fact, he was already out doing some jogging. That is a great sign already after the meniscus damage that he had there. Do you have anything on Newt, on Herrera, on Donnie? Any updates on their injuries?
Nothing of note, but that's a good thing. That just means everything's proceeding as we would hope. You know, Newt, obviously, as we've talked about, is the one where there's the most uncertainty around the timetable, but everything's going well for him so far. Nothing to really change our estimation or our prognosis, and hopeful that continues to be the case. Obviously, the real test is going to be once he's able to move around and do some more things, and we see how quickly he can get into really stepping on it and getting closer to game action. But everything in the early going is going all right, and hopefully it continues that way.
What about looking ahead at the GM meetings here in Las Vegas? I believe those officially open on Tuesday. So as you told us, that's when conversations start. And you told us last week, reinforcing, you are focusing on pitching. That is a priority for you. When you're looking to add to this starting rotation, can you give us an idea of what kind of pitcher you want, or perhaps the area that you're looking at? What is your best case scenario here as we move forward?
Well, You know, I think it really depends on what type of transaction we're talking about. If we're talking about on the trade front, you know, any trades we consider, the first thing we'll want to target is controllable starting pitching. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to walk past other good players. You obviously always want to maximize the amount of good young players that you have. But if we can get starting pitching that can be a part of this core and can move forward with us for a number of years, and it's someone that we feel we like and that has a chance to get big outs at this level and take the ball 30 times and hopefully pitch in the postseason, that's going to be our primary target. Now, obviously, every club covets those types of guys, right? So there's not necessarily a guarantee that we'll be able to, you know, land someone like that, but we're certainly going to pursue that very hard when we explore the trade front. Obviously, free agency is a little bit of a different animal when you talk about having guys that have more under their belts, and we'll certainly look at those as well and look at guys that potentially have upside and that we can get something out of that maybe they haven't been able to access to this point in their careers. So we're really going to look at both. I expect we'll be having conversations both with agents and with other clubs. Those have really already started. We've already preliminarily flagged some players, you know, with some agents that we're interested in talking about this winter, and touch base with I would say all 29 other clubs, but obviously Colorado just got their head of baseball ops in place, so we're going to give Paul a little bit of time to settle in before we talk to him. But really 28 clubs just to figure out what their offseason plans are and see where we might line up.
Miles Michaelis is officially a free agent. Chaim Bloom is with us, Cardinals president of baseball operations. Miles is a free agent. You got some big names currently with you that could attract some attention. I'm just curious where the conversations are with those players in terms of what they'd be willing to do and if they'd want to explore that as well. Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, what can you tell us about those three?
Can pretty much just echo what each of those guys said to our media that last weekend in Chicago, and appreciate that they were willing to be candid. I had great conversations with all three of them as we got towards the end of the season, and each of their situations is a little bit different, but nothing's really changed from what they talked about at that time. You know, they're all different situations individually, and can certainly rehash those if you'd like, but it's too early in the off season for anything to have changed there. Have just been trying to stay in touch with each of them and the folks that rep them, and just make sure we're all on the same page as we go through this.
You also have made some transactions recently, and am I right on this that Zach Thompson, who was originally thought to be a minor league free agent, is no longer a minor league free agent because there are some rules that allow him to come back because he was on the injured list all season?
Yeah, that's correct. That was a little bit of an error in the automated system that MLB's kind of central system has to flag players as potential minor league free agents. And it turns out that because he spent the entire year on the minor league injured list, that he did not qualify for minor league free agency. So he is still with us right now. So that was something that just because he was flagged as being a potential minor league free agent, I don't think we or MLB realized that until after he had been outrighted off the roster and then did not become a free agent at 4 o'clock Central on that day. So happy to have him still with us, and we'll see where it goes from here.
That I first saw that reporting from the Post-Dispatch, so I want to make sure that I cite that before we move forward here with something else. And that is that you have until November 18th. So you've got some time here, 9 days to create some space that for players that you want to protect from the Rule 5 draft. How does that all go down? I see you're already making some transactions here as you've moved some people around. Siani was outrighted, et cetera.
Yeah, so there's a few markers here just to lay this out for any of our fans who might not be aware of all the dates to follow here. Those transactions happen on the fifth day following the end of the World Series. And so that's the first big off-season milestone in terms of setting your roster. And that's a date by which a lot of team and player options have to be decided. Players need to be reinstated from the 60-day IL. And there are certain rules with roster flexibility. If a player has the ability to become a minor league free agent, if he's not on the roster, if you don't remove him from the roster by the fifth day after the World Series, then you're a little bit limited in what you can do with him. So just with those guys, obviously anticipating needing to add some players later in the month, as you talked about, we had to make some moves off of our roster now. And so we ended up making some moves with four players, two of whom ended up getting claimed on waivers by their clubs, and certainly wish them well. The next dates to look out for, obviously transactions can happen at any time, but you alluded to the 18th. So November 18th is the day when we have to add players to the 40-man roster to protect them from being selected in the Rule 5. We are fortunate to have some standout performances by some Rule 5 eligible players in our system this year. So there will certainly be some players to add and then some decisions we're still working through. And then at the end of that week, November 21st is the tender deadline for arbitration eligible players. So that's a time around the industry when teams who have players who are eligible for arbitration need to make decisions on whether they're going to tender them a contract and take them into that system. So you'll see some action around that date too.
A final thing here before we go, we have about a minute left, and I appreciate this very much. Anything still moving for you in terms of front office and staff? I believe that answer is yes, but you just don't have the full announcement yet of everything that you've accomplished.
Yeah, that's correct. We wanted to make sure, you know, as we've talked about, to announce the two fellows, Jacob Buffa and Joe Douglas, that we added in director roles. There's certainly still other things that we're looking to nail down with our staff, both in uniform and out of it. And once we get to a point of having completed those, I guess you're never complete, but a good stopping point where we have a more full staff to announce, we'll certainly want to keep everybody posted. But it's exciting. You know, we've got some really talented people here, and it's both good to have a lot of those talented people returning with us and then also have the opportunity to add people from the outside who bring perspectives that are going to help us move forward.
Well, the big fan base will be waiting, and they love these visits, I know, and so do we. We appreciate it. It's a great window to what you're doing to keep everybody informed, and thank you for doing it. Hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Well, absolutely. Love doing it and love staying connected to everybody who cares about this team, and looking forward to continuing that conversation over the course of the winter and beyond.
Have a great day.
You bet.
Chaim Bloom with us, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations on KMOX, and that's our show. We have the NFL coming in just a few minutes. A little short, but boy, we squeezed it all in there, didn't we? A little football, a little hoops, a little hockey, some baseball. It is KMOX, and coming up next, it's the Patriots and the Bucks in Tampa.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.